lobby. And so we wanted to say thanks for being here with us today. We're really grateful. Today we begin our summer sermon series as we are going to read through and preach through the book of Acts. Acts is one of the New Testament books. It follows the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to do something with us this summer, okay? I'm going to give you a practical way you can strengthen your faith in understanding the Scriptures. We're going to be in Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to just open up the story, and we're going to see what God might speak to us. And it's just 11 verses, but you're going to realize these 11 verses are loaded. And so to help us grow in following Jesus and to help us grow our passion for the Word of God, the Bible, I'm going to give you a challenge this summer. Let's go to the next photo. This is what we want to inspire all of us to. We have free Bibles for everyone. I love my YouVersion Bible app. I use it on my phone every day. But there is something really special about holding the printed Bible. And then you can take a pen and you can mark it up. This is my markings. This is not for you. This is for me. All right? But we have free Bibles for you today. If you do not have a paper Bible, we will put one in your hand. If you raise your hand right now, we'll walk around. And if you don't want to raise your hand, that's okay. You can grab them on the table in the back. But I want to challenge you. Bring it with you week in and week out. Get a pen, a highlighter, mark it up. Because what's going to happen is you're going to see things come to you and you're going to mark it. And as you mark it, it helps put it in your memory. It helps put it in your muscle memory. It helps you remind you that God was speaking to you in that moment. And then in some future date, you'll read Acts 1, 1 through 11 again, and something else will highlight. And something else will be there. And you'll be reminded of how God spoke to you. And you'll be encouraged that He is alive and living, and He's talking to you again right now. So make sure you grab a Bible. It's our free gift to you. And I want you to bring it with you week in and week out. And then here's my other challenge. When our preaching team preaches, we don't cover it all. Every sermon that I ever preach on this stage in this building will always be incomplete, and I'm so sorry for that. It's insufficient. I cannot get to all of it. So what we want to encourage you to do is let this be a springboard so that this week you can go read those verses and just find all the things I missed. Find all the things that God still has for you there and just read it. And let it go to work on our lives together. And so this week, I'm encouraging you to read Acts 1. And we won't get to every chapter, but we'll get to a lot of the chapters, and we're going to move through the book together. And so I'm really looking forward to it. Acts is a sequel to the book of Luke. We just preached through the book of Luke from last December kind of to the month of April. And it just so happens Acts is authored by the same guy, a guy writing to his friend to tell him of all the things Jesus did and taught. All the things Jesus did and taught. This is how Luke 1 opens. Listen to how Luke 1 opens. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those whom from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke is a book all about the life of Jesus so that we could have a certainty of our faith around the life and the work and the ministry of Jesus. Now listen to how Acts 1 opens. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. A beginning, not an end. A beginning, not a completion. The book of Acts is often thought of as a book that focuses on the early church, and that is correct, but not complete. It's more than that. N.T. Wright, author and theologian, says we need to interact with this book on three levels. Level one, it's all about the early church. You're going to get a vision for how followers of Jesus lived into the promise of Jesus following his resurrection. We should, as a community of people, have more vision for how we live today because of the truth of the Scriptures and the work of Jesus through his church. But don't miss this. Acts is all about Jesus. The main focus and the main character of this book as we work through it all summer long is that you would behold Jesus with more affection, more faith, more possibility, that you would better know Jesus because of this book than you did before. Because he's not done working. He is alive, and he is doing more things now through the church. And finally, it's an invitation. Level 3 is an invitation to us now to join in and participate. To join in and participate in Jesus' mission here on the earth. And I want to give you one final note that N.T. Wright helps us see in his writings. And it's really clear. Luke, the author of this book, wants us to grab hold of two fundamentals for following Jesus and living out faith. Two things that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are finding faith in Jesus, anchor us for how we live into this story. One is this. It's all based on the resurrection of Jesus. He is alive. He has conquered sin and death. The witness we're going to see all through Acts hangs on these words. Jesus is the living God. Jesus was raised to life. And that testimony, day in and day out, is the bedrock on which the early church operated in all that they did. And us too. That is not some minor note you go, oh yeah, 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 Easter Sunday, and then I live the rest of the Sundays of the year disconnected from he was raised to life. Luke is saying it is the foundation. The other thing that Luke is very, very clear on is this story of faith in Jesus, this work that we're being invited to as the church, is in the fullness of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is the promise for us, not an add-on, not a I'll decide how much of the Holy Spirit I want, not like, I occasionally believe in the Holy Spirit, I always believe in Jesus. I always believe in Jesus, the risen Savior of the world, and I'm always asking for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit because there's no separating them. There's no disconnecting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one, and Luke is saying the only hope we have as followers of Jesus to participate in the life we're going to live here until Jesus comes again is in the full presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That is not something to be afraid of or nervous about. It is good news. God wants to put himself in us. God wants to resource us in ways we cannot resource ourselves. God, the Holy Spirit, comes in power on the early church, and it is day in and day out living the same way Jesus did. It is fundamental and central. We are experiencing and witnessing to the world that God is alive. Guys, there is so much the world is trying to take in right now. There are so many things you are navigating in your home. There are so many things you're making sense of based on the stage or season of life you are in. And Luke's going to encourage us, make sense of all of that, full of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus at the center being the living God. Being the living God. So I'm just curious, does that intro intrigue you? It's so-so. Are you curious about what the living God might be up to right here, right now? Is it possible that by reading the scriptures we get more of an understanding of who God is and his faithfulness and his active presence in the world? Well, let's read Acts 1, 1 through 11 and see what maybe sparks for us, because I'll tell you what, I am curious what God wants to do now. And I am betting my whole life, I am anchoring my whole life on a God who's alive, not dead, and a God who has hope for us. Because not only did he come, but he is coming again. And we're going to see that in the scriptures today. So let's read this, Acts 1, 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who is taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Quick connection. We just sang, "He's coming back again." Biblical, scriptural anchor for what we sang in worship. There is a hope that the living God, who has been from the beginning, in whom all things were created, who came and revealed himself in Jesus, who conquered sin and death, who humbled and surrendered his life into the trusting hands of the Father, went into the tomb, was raised to life, is now seated living on the throne, is coming back again. I don't know about you, but there are so many things in these 11 verses we could take this sermon at. We could move to so many points. And so I want to give you a little overview and maybe a little intrigue that would cause you to go, "I want to read more of this week." And here's where I'm going to start. God has more for us. An anchoring truth of faith in Jesus has to be settling in our hearts and our minds and our approach to every day. God has more for you. God has more for us. God has more for the world. He is not done. Dare I say, he has only just begun. Jesus began to do and teach. He's not done. He has more for you. God will give and fulfill his promise in and through the Holy Spirit. God has more for us. God has more. And even so much more, we can put our hope in the fact that he is coming back again. One of the things I think we have to understand as a church is that we are a community rooted and established in God that is full of hope, and that there is more life to come. There's more good news to come. There's more healing to come. We can look out at the world and not be people who are hopeless, but we of all people can witness to a God who's alive and a God who's interested in doing more. Amen? God has more for us. And so I have to ask, where do you struggle to believe that? Where do you wake up on Tuesday morning and your life is not led by the truth, God has more for you? God is teaching. He's begun to teach. He wants to teach more. God began to do, but he actually wants to continue to do because he wants to do more. Maybe you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, but your life does not feel very Holy Spirit filled, very Holy Spirit led. We can't just settle for less than what God has. We have to say, "God, I need more of who you are." That's where we started our worship this morning. I need you. God, I need you. Every hour, I need you. I need more of who you are right now for this meeting at work, for this situation with my kid, for this discouragement I feel in my marriage. God, I need you to come in more presence and more power, not less. I need you to teach me more as a spouse now, not less. Every part of our life. And so I would ask you, It seems as though Luke, in his writing in Acts, sort of anchors in this belief that Jesus is doing and teaching. Where are you allowing Jesus to work and teach in your marriage? Where are you allowing Jesus to work and teach in your parenting? Where are you allowing Jesus to work and teach you in your prayer life, in friendships, and in leisure, when it comes to managing the resources that you've been entrusted? Where are you allowing Jesus to come in power where you work, to manage the stress and the anxiety? Where are you allowing Jesus to come to do work and to teach you about your thought life? Oh, if you knew the thoughts that just bounce around in my head, you would know how human I am. But am I allowing those thoughts to be encountered by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to train my mind, to be led and be taught by Jesus? There's this interesting repeat through these verses that I couldn't shake and couldn't get away from. There's a repeated reality in the opening of Acts, you will. It starts with, I wanted to remind you of all the things Jesus began to do and to teach. But then Luke quickly gets to this, you will. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. It is very clear that this life of faith in Jesus is to do a work that is not like we just sit back for one day, but that you will today be filled. You will today move in partnership with God. You will be a witness. So is your marriage a witness to the good news of Jesus? Is your parenting a witness to the next generation? Is the way you cope and comfort your life a witness to the good news of Jesus, or is it tell of the discouragement and the weight of life we feel, which just is a signal to saying, God, I need you. I need you to come teach me in this season. I need you to come do work in this season. See, the thing that we're going to have to deal with in Acts is Jesus is working in the earth in real time in your life and in mine. And if we are witnesses, then we have to deal with reality. What is the reality of your life a witness to? What story does it tell? What we have to know is God has more for us, and He wants our lives to be a testimony of His goodness, because He's calling you into a story so that you will receive power. You will be His witness. You will know of the promise of God fulfilled in you and through you. You will be baptized. You will be baptized. One of the things I love about this picture is it's about immersion. You will be immersed. And what's fact is we all are immersed in something in this life. You are immersed. And I would just ask you to kind of consider, what is your life immersed in right now? Is it immersed in fear? Is it immersed in worry? Is it immersed in apathy? Is it immersed in confusion? Does it depend on the day? Does it depend on the moment? See, there's this interesting thing happening here that we can't avoid. God wants our lives immersed by Him, in Him, and for Him. God wants your life immersed in His presence, immersed in His power, immersed in His love, immersed in His truth, that the only thing you can do is sort of reflect that. One of the things I love at the Vineyard is Baptism Sunday, where people who have new faith in Jesus step into a picture and a practice by being immersed in the water, and then they come out. And that picture is being immersed in God. Your old life is buried, just like Jesus was buried in a tomb, and then you're raised to new life as a picture of what Jesus is doing in the earth. But you cannot avoid the fact that when they come up out of the water, they are sopping wet. It is reality. It is a visible, physical picture of a spiritual truth God wants all of us to know. And they drip water everywhere, and I love it. And then they drip water like here in the carpet, and then they move to go get dry because nobody wants to just be sopping wet in front of a crowd. And then they just drip water every step they take. That's faith in Jesus. That you say, God, come saturate me, immerse me, so that every step I take, it sort of drips you wherever I go. Every conversation I'm in, I witness to you, not because I'm so great apart from you, but I'm so filled with you. I recognize my need is so great, I have to ask for you every day to fill me up. Or I walk around dry, and there's no drip, and there's no sop, and there's no picture of you immersing my life with your presence and power. Church, this is the call of Acts. Luke is very clear. Jesus has begun a work. He's going to do a promise and a filling of all of us who will receive it. The question is, how needy will we be? How dependent will we be? We live in a day and a time where everybody wants to be able to produce the fruit of their lives, produce the resources of their lives. The scriptures say the fruit you actually want cannot be produced apart from depending on God. When we notice the reality of our lives, it is not to produce shame or discouragement, it is to be a marker of reality. And that reality allows us to celebrate how much life from God we're experiencing, or to go, I need more life than I currently have. Here's what I mean. I want to ask you to think about your own life quietly in your own head. And I just want you to think about, like, if you were going to just sort of describe your stereotypical mood, what one word would you use to describe that? Everybody got it? No shame. Like, whatever your mood is, it's just real. It's just reality. It's like, that's just who I am, Kurt. Okay, that's my next question. You've got the name of the mood. What is the source of that mood? It would be super normal for me to go, well, like, that's my personality. That's just how I operate. Like, whatever it is. I believe we're getting an invitation to life in God that we don't just navigate this life by our own will, personality, or strength, but God begins to immerse us and fill us and transform us from the inside out, that our mood becomes more defined by the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Like, if you're in a season of frustration or anger, that would be normal and human living in this day and time. That is not the fruit that the Spirit produces. Galatians 5 does not say the fruit of the Spirit is anger and rage and malice and hate. How immersed am I in those moments? How surrendered and humble am I in those moments? Think about your thought life. If you just sort of stereotypically go, these are the thoughts I have, are your thoughts hopeful and optimistic, or are they despairing and discouraged? Again, no shame. It's just naming reality. Are they anxious and worried, or are they peaceful and joyful? Whatever our thoughts are, we shouldn't just claim them as like, well, that's just the way my brain works. There's an invitation to go, am I getting the fullness of God? Am I immersing my thoughts with the Word of God and the presence of God and the truth of God? What will my thoughts witness to the world? What do my thoughts witness to those around me? And I want to be real clear. There's a lot of times my thoughts witness to the fact I am not God and I need more of God. Amen? So let's just step in and be honest about it. Let's be transformed by the power and presence of God so that when we witness, we're talking to our friend, you go, you know what? My thoughts are regularly fearful. I've said that from the stage. I am prone to fear I did not even know that I had. That is not the way God wants me to live. So I'm asking for God to immerse me so I can have more freedom. Freedom from fear in my thought life to faith and immersion and the God who created everything leading and guiding me. Listen, if the faith that we have in Jesus doesn't work from our own thoughts, how's it going to work for anybody else? How do we go talk to a coworker about the freedom we're getting in our life if we're not letting the power and presence of God come and transform us? We just stay bitter. We stay angry. We stay stuck. But God has more for us. Remember, that's the opening of Acts 1. God doesn't want it to be your will, your power, your kind of worldview. He wants to immerse you so you get His power, His worldview, His truth, His leading, His guiding. Is that enough? Y'all are like, Kurt, that's enough. I think we get the picture. Here's the thing. We don't get the picture until it's how we're actually living. Thinking about it and going, yeah, that's a good thing, Kurt. Not enough. It's not enough. It's got to start reaching into the behaviors and the actions of our lives. And here's like one of the practical things that happens. Jesus is talking to them, and he says this, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." You've heard. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Seems clear. He's given instructions. Wait and receive. Okay? Wait and receive. This is how the humanity of us all work. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He's like, "Actually, no, I told you, you're going to wait and receive God the Holy Spirit." And they're like, "Restore the kingdom of Israel." This is what we do all the time. We hear the words of Jesus. He gives us ways to be actively following him, doing the things he said to do. And then we just go over here and go, "Yeah, God, but hey, actually, I need you to do something for me. I need you to restore the kingdom of Israel. Lord, are you at this time? Are you at this time?" Do you hear that? They are going, "Lord, what are you going to do? At this time, are you going to do the thing I want you to do? It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Here we go again. He's just doubling down. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Humans struggle to understand. If there's one thing I love about reading Luke and now reading Acts is that you should be encouraged. You are not going to get it all. You are not going to understand it all. That is the fact that we are human. We are not God. We like to interact with God as though we know better, and we have real ideas about what he should or should not be doing. But then God looks at us and goes, "You will." I look at God and go, "God, are you going to do this for me? Are you going to do that for me? Are you going to do the things I think you should do?" And he's regularly, lovingly going, "Hey, Kurt, I appreciate the honesty of what you want me to do, but let me be really clear. You will." The authority of God is supposed to come over my life so I will surrender. And when I hear God say, "You will," I go, "I will." Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom of God, and the disciples are asking about the kingdom of Israel. Jesus is saying, "You will be my witnesses to all the earth, to all the nations." And they're going, "Yeah, but can you restore ours?" We could take it right now. We all pray this prayer. We need help understanding God's ways by yielding to God's authority. Look, the authority is God's and God's alone. He knows the time. He knows the dates. That is not what we're supposed to focus on. Our focus is on receiving presence and power so that we can then witness, because his promise is to the ends of the earth, all nations. And right now, if you were to just look around the room, more than one nation here, a picture of what God is doing. God, are you at this time going to do this thing, that thing? You know, one of the things I felt challenged by this week and as I've been thinking about this series is we keep looking to God to do a narrow work. I regularly make God's work smaller because I dictate the boundaries in which God needs to work. And this picture says God's always doing a bigger work than you imagined. God wants to do more than you imagine. He wants to fill you with his presence and his power and call you into a story that ultimately takes us with purpose and calling so that all the nations. But it takes us being a people who depend on God in all things at all times. It's an issue of authority. He says it very clearly here. God is the one with authority. We are not.
But we live in our sinful disobedience as though we are the ones with authority, and then we dictate to God what God can and cannot do. We live in a world that is oriented that way, period. You are being discipled all the time in your individualism, in your autonomy, in all of these things that you need to make it happen. You need to figure it out. You need to live a particular way. And Acts reminds us, in the words of Jesus, the call is to depend on God's authority, not our own, in all things at all times. In all things at all times. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. How much power do you feel like you're living with day in and day out? And you will be my witness. How much witnessing happens day in and day out? There's two ways I want to encourage us to sort of frame witness as we journey through Acts together. And one is this. Witness is to tell your God story. To witness is to tell your God story. And there's three simple, easy ways to frame it. It can take 60 seconds. You could do it in 3 minutes. You could do it in 30 hours, depending on how much time the person has. That would be a late night. It would be a long conversation. Here's how you do it. What was I before? What was I before when I lived under my own authority and in my own way? What was the experience I've had with God? What was a moment of real encounter that I know the living God met me in a way that I can no longer deny? What was that? And how has this made a difference after? These three movements come from Jay Pathick, National Director of Vineyard USA. What was I before? And frankly, that before could take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however long. What was the encounter? When did God show up in your life undeniable and you'll never be able to undeny it? Wait, no, that's not right. You'll never be able to deny it again. It's undeniable. There you go. What's the difference? It's not going to be your perfection afterwards. You're still going to be transformed. You're still going to struggle. You're still going to have patterns that take decades of transforming love and presence from God. But you will be different. You will have a different foundation. You will have a different way of seeing the world. We should all be practicing these three things. What was I before? What was the encounter? And how had things been different since? The other way we witness is we live out the hope of Jesus in our lives. What is he doing and teaching? What is he doing and teaching? We witness in parenting with peace and faith. We witness when we tell the truth and are diligent in our work environment. We witness when we're honest about suffering and we depend on God in the darkness. We witness when we pray, and we pray for others. There are so many ways we can witness, but the thing that is clear is God is saying to us as his community, those who follow Jesus, you will receive power, and you will be my witness. So here's the challenge. How willing are you to ask for God's power to come today? I don't know, Kurt. Will that just like make it weird? Maybe. I don't know, Kurt. Will that just mean like I'm not in control anymore? Are you in control right now? See, the thing again is when we are willing to ask for God's power, it's an expression of humility. I'm not powerful enough. It's an expression of dependence. God, the only way I make it through today is with you. Help. Fill me, help me. We read this a couple weeks ago, but John 17 says his heart is to pray for you, to protect you. One way we ask for God's power to come is to protect us. The Christian faith is not intended to be a costume that we wear as a superficial cover. We are not living some spiritual Halloween where we put on some costume, but it's a cover to something other. That is not the Christian life. Oh, I put on faith in Jesus, but it's just a cover to what's real. This is supposed to be the most real thing because it's not a superficial exterior. It's an internal welcoming of transformation. It's an internal receiving of power and presence and purpose and calling. God has more for us. God has more for you right now in the areas of your life you need it. Will you receive his power and his presence? Let's stand together. I'm inviting you to stand so you have some hope that I'm almost done. I'm inviting you to stand so that you could maybe become a little more physically aware to yourself in the room and maybe take a posture of receiving. N.T. Wright helps us understand the mission Jesus invites us to join this way. He says, God's kingdom is coming in and through the work of Jesus, not by taking people away from this world, but by transforming things within this world, burning the sphere of earth into the presence and under the rule of heaven itself. I think that was a typo, an autocorrect. I think it's bringing the sphere of earth into the presence and under the rule of heaven itself. Burning is a different message. That's Acts 2, tongues of fire fall. Precursor, you got to be here. That's in 2 weeks. Like, what kind of church is this? Let's just, hey, we have to be honest about like our lives and our misspeaking of words. He has come and he's coming again. The work he wants to do in your life is not a wait till you die. It's a right now because he's alive. Will you receive? Will you receive? Jesus is enthroned on high. The authority is not in question. Will you receive his power and his presence? Where do you need it? Right now, I want you to think about two things. The first is this. What in your life is the like weak point? It's the low. What is the thing in your life that is the lowest part of your life? I'm going to challenge you to ask God to come close to that part of your life this morning. And the other thing is, would you depend on God and say, God, I'm willing to receive.